Please be seated. Well, turn with me this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, beginning a new series through this Gospel. I've preached through the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark here at Emmanuel Chapel. I've preached in Matthew on several occasions from various texts, but I've never preached through the book. So we're going to begin this morning. And unfortunately, I think you'll see that if we go at the pace of this morning's message, we'll be in Matthew for 17 years. But hopefully that will not be the case. Chapter 1 is the word of the living God. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And then I'm going to break a rule. I'm not going to read all the other names. Just look at the end there, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Our Father in heaven, we come once again to the Word of God, sometimes just a portion, just a phrase in that Word. But we come, O Lord, to hear what you would say to us through that Word. So we ask you to bless the speaker, not because we want to be entertained or impressed by his gifts or calling, but because you have chosen to use ministers to preach the word of God, the power of God to save sinners and build up saints. And we pray that that will take place even now in our midst, as you bless both the speaker and hearer. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, in the four books that begin the New Testament, there are 89 chapters, 3,779 verses, 64,766 words. Just for your information, The Hobbit has 95,356 words. These four Gospels, however, are not fiction. They are the living word of the living God. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah 10:10. The Lord is true, and he is the living God and the everlasting King. The phrase "the living God" appears some 30 times in the Bible, the living God. God is, and God has spoken. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus Christ. They all talk about his divine nature. They all show his miracles, teachings. They all, at different points, talk about his sufferings and death and resurrection from the dead. And each of them tells the story from a slightly different point of view. Matthew is called the Gospel of Christ the King. Mark is called Christ the Servant. Luke, the Son of Man. And John, the Son of God or the Savior. Those are basically the bent that the authors are using to present Christ. What's in the Gospels, the four Gospels, is a topic, a subject, a story that you need to hear. In fact, I could say it like this. If you read nothing from the Bible but the four Gospels, and you believe it, If you read nothing but the four Gospels and believe it, what will you find? In those four Gospels, you will find salvation and forgiveness and sanctification and guidance and holiness and eternal life. All in these four books. You know, if you were talking to somebody on the street, brand new person, and they began to show some interest, and you said, well, you should read your Bible, and you were to say, where should you begin? If you just hand them the Bible and say, start at the page one. By the time they get to the middle of First Chronicles, they're going to give up. What's a good thing to do? I often tell people, just read John. Read the 20 chapters of John over and over again until you feel like moving on. You could say the same of all four of the Gospels. Stay in the Gospels. It will teach you so much about Jesus. Now, if you were trying to get somebody to read your book, you were trying to entice them to keep reading, would you start off with a list of 40 names? If you were a Jew, it is actually a good place to start. Because ancestry and lineage were of paramount importance to the Jews. This list actually gives Matthew credibility. Because here is a Jew writing to Jews about a Jew. Jesus as King, Messiah, Christ. Now, sometime in the future here, Matthew 16:16, we come to that marvelous phrase. Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds with that amazing phrase, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, of all the stories, this story needs to be heard. Matthew, the tax collector, chapter 9, verse 9. He works for the Roman Empire. He's an official. He works for the IRS. He's called by Jesus to become one of the 12 apostles, chapter 10, verse 3. And yet, here we have this list. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. This list is a good place to start because of the authenticity that the list gives. This list is a good place to start because of the humanity the list shows. And this place is a good place to start because of the Christ that this list reveals. The authenticity the list gives. Verse 1, the book of the genealogy. 16 verses with 22 names, 42 generations. J.C. Ryle said this, nothing in the Bible is useless. Every word of God is inspired. God breathed. We theologically talk about the plenary verbal inspiration. Every word. In fact, we have an argument for every comma. Remember Jesus saying every jot and tittle. Those were commas and markings. Even those are inspired. Every word, even a list of names. What are we being given here? The pedigree of the Messiah shows, first of all, that he was not some obscure, secret person who came out of nowhere. No. He didn't just appear on the scene with no preparation. No, Jesus is the promise of God. God who keeps his word. God who told Abraham back in Genesis 12, verse 3, in you, in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This list of names proves that Jesus is the promise fulfilled. Listen, whatever you think about God, you need to remember that he will keep his word. That's one of the things this list tells us. And God has said, if you will not repent and believe, you will perish. Luke 13, verse 3. That's what God has said. And you should remember, he keeps his word. Unbeliever, this list should make you uneasy. Because God said he would send a Savior who is also judge and king and Lord, and Jesus Christ was born in a historical succession. He lived, he died, he rose again in history, in time, in space, in reality. The God who keeps his word has said so. Do you know this Christ? Christian, this list should comfort you for the same reason, because God will keep his word. He said he will save all who believe in Christ. If God said it, he will surely do it. I point out to you that this list covers 2004 plus or minus years. And where are you now? You're 2,000 years after the death of Christ and resurrection of Christ. But your name, believer, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, 27. There's a list. God keeps a list. If you're a believer, that name is written there. The authenticity that this list gives. Your ancestors had something to do with you. You are who you are, and where you are, because of your ancestry. Now, yes, some people will make too much of their ancestry. You know what I mean? There are people who will say, "You know who I am?" As if that really mattered, you know? In fact, "Do you know who I am?" is often made a reason for foolish, criminal, embarrassing behavior that ought to be ignored and excused. "You'll excuse me because of who I am," is the way that that sometimes comes across. But on another note, you might, I say might, but you might wish that your last name was Rockefeller or Gates or, don't hate me, but Trump. Or you might wish that your last name, that you were Billy Graham's son or daughter, that was your heritage. On the other hand, who in their right mind would want to celebrate being a child of Hitler or Stalin or Osama bin Laden? What a terrible heritage to try to overcome. But here is a list of names that connects Abraham and Jesus. This is a list of the heritage of Christ the King. And the list reminds us of how all the past was preparing for Jesus. Christ is the sacred heir of all the ancient world. Let me put it another way. Christ is the point. The why. Of all history. Jesus is the answer to the question, what's it all about? Why are we here? This list connects Jesus and his teachings with all of God's revelation and promises. It ties up all the loose ends of history. Why did that happen over there? He had the Exodus and then they came and they crossed the river, Joshua. Why all that? Walls falling down. Why all that? Why Goliath and David? Ultimately, Jesus. It's proof, the list is proof that the eternal Son of God was human. It puts him in a list of humans. It shows that his life, impacts all of history, the whole world. Now you might, as we did, skip over the list of reading of all the people. I don't know about you, but I will confess, I skim 1st and 2nd Chronicles pretty rapidly when I'm doing my annual Bible reading. I don't read every name in that list. If you do, good for you. But these are people who lived and breathed, and history was made by some of the names in this list. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, but Narnia is not real. Middle Earth does not exist. But Abraham and David and Solomon and Jesus are real. A list like this proves that. Even the less well-known names in this list, they were real people in real time. They preceded somebody. They succeeded somebody. And that also speaks to the fact that Jesus Christ is real. Just like Isaac came from Abraham and Jacob came from Isaac. Just like that, Jesus Christ was born. These were real families with real people who lived real lives in the real world. Nothing in the Bible is useless. This authenticity is found in this list. Yes, there are times when ancestry is kind of an amazing thing. Presbytery is coming, and I've asked a young man named Seth to preach. He's just been ordained, Seth Dorman. Seth Dorman is probably what? I'm probably going to get it wrong, Sam, but I think it's three generations, four. He's either third or fourth generation Dorman, right? His father preached in Skowhegan, Maine, at the same church for almost 35 years. Started it when he was just barely 20-something. He came to Presbytery one time when he was in his 90s, and he was still preaching. My favorite story of that whole time was after he gave a presentation to Presbytery, they asked if there were any questions, and some minister asked Pastor Dorman, what advice would you give to us younger ministers? And Pastor Dorman, without even hesitating, said, read your Bible. That's all he said. That's good advice. It's a marvelous thing to see the ancestry of godly men be on display. By the way, Seth Dorman, his exams at Presbytery, I thought were outstanding. The future of the OPC and the ministry in our region is in good hands. You know, people like Leonard, retired. The guy from New York, Tim Gregson, retired. Some of the men in the Presbytery are thinking, is it, you know, time to retire? Who's going to take over? The Lord's going to raise up another generation. The humanity that the list shows. This is the son of David, the son of Abraham. Each name in this list paves the way for the Messiah. Each name is part of the promise of God to send a Savior to all humanity. Each name plays a role in the coming of Christ. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. All these people and the history itself are serving the purpose of God. The eternal plan of God unfolds one life at a time, one heart at a time, one history at a time. It's a long list of people who have come and gone. Brothers and sisters, that ought to tell us about the shortness of life. Again, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, all we get is 80 plus years or so. There isn't a one of us that's going to live to be 165. Not one of us. This list shows us that these people came and they went, all leading to Christ. The eternal Son of God becomes a man. He was born just like everybody else in the list. He was born. He lived a human life. He was a baby. He was a youngster. I mean, he was a teenager. Now, we don't have any information about those particular years, but he did. He passed through them. He died at 33 years old. This list tells us that Jesus was one of us. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Mary. He's human. He's the God-man. And the list also shows us the sinfulness of human nature. There are some very godly names in this list. Solomon, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Josiah. They were all faithful fathers. But their sons, Rehoboam, Manasseh, Joram, Jeconiah, they were all wicked men. Brothers and sisters, this list shows us that sin has touched the home of the best parents. None of those parents, by the way, were without flaws. They all had sins of their own. But God's grace often flows through broken vessels, like us. And nobody stands alone. You are part of humanity. You are part of a nation. You are part of a church. You are part of a family. But J.C. Ryle points out, grace does not run in families. It needs something more than a good example to make people children of God. Don't we know that? Don't we all have stories of children who are not walking in the ways? And you might say, but look who his parents were. They're still not walking in the way. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, we are not, as John's gospel says, born of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. No excuse for being a bad parent. But you can be the worst parent and have a Solomon be your son. And by the way, the other side of that is true. You can be the best, most godly parent that you can be, and you can have a Joram or a Manasseh. I'm blown away by Manasseh. I don't get it. Father who reestablished, blessed the people of God, made sure worship was being... Manasseh, what? Completely goes the other way. Parents, when you pray for your children, pray that they would be born again by the Spirit of God. Raise them well, yes, fine. Give them manners. But pray that they might be full of the Spirit of Christ. That they might love Jesus. Trust Christ. Pursue the things of God. The genealogy of Jesus reveals that the coming of a new world and a new covenant, a new body of Christ in the world, the church. We usually mark the church from the beginning of Christ. Yes, there's an eternal nature of the church, a forever nature of the church and the people of God, but there's a New Testament beginning. Starts with Jesus. This list ushers in the promise of a better country, Hebrews 11:6. And we look forward to the future glory of that heavenly country. Brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that this is not all there is? We look forward to that place where there are no more tears. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. And the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. Isn't that a great verse? No legs that don't want to work, Steve. Blood pressure that's regulated correctly. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of his life, his death, his resurrection. What unites us more than family or nationality or blood? You would think, listening to the world, that it's those things. Nationality, family, blood. No. For Christians, what unites us is Christ. As different as we are. Dutch, Korean, French, Italian, I would miss somebody, German. We're all so different. That's not what unites us. It's not Presbyterian. It's not your view of the end times. It's Jesus. Romans 12, verse 5, we read it. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Not American, not Republican. That's not what gives us unity. There might be some level of unity socially, culturally there. But it is faith in this person that ends this list that unites us. Why'd you all come here this morning? I hope it wasn't to be entertained by the pastor. No, you came because you're Christians. Christ is revealed in this list. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. His ancestry in this list connects him to the people that he came to save. Abraham's seed are who? Believers. Didn't you sing in some vacation Bible school? Christian camp? Father Abraham has many sons. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Jesus came in this line to redeem his sheep. Jesus, he is the God man. He is a Jew. He is a king. Matthew's going to lay that out. He's born of a woman. Notice the difference there. We may mention this, Lord willing, next time at verse 16. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Note, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The short answer is that Joseph was the legal father of Jesus, but not the biological father of Jesus. But he comes in the likeness of fallen men. When Jesus was a baby, he didn't have a halo. You know, all the art puts him that way, you know. You see the little manger and there's a halo. There's no halo. He cried like babies. They would have called him Danieller. Wanted to be fed when he wanted to be fed. And he let his parents know, just like babies do. But he's the eternal Son of God. How great is that mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of all things, becomes a human being. He comes in the likeness of fallen men. There are in this list some sad examples of human nature. Examples we would not be proud to say, oh yeah, Manasseh was my dad. And yet, what does Hebrews 4:15 tell us? Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was as much a person as you are a person. He got hungry every 6 hours, unless he was on a fast out in the desert. But he was hungry, like a human being, because he was a human being. And because he is in this list, he has connection to us. Like we have a connection to all the human beings. Brothers and sisters, if people would realize their connection to other human beings, how would that change things? War is more ugly because war shatters the human connection. Are you not? I know I am amazed when I read history, when I look at current events, I'm amazed at what human beings will do to other human beings. It's mind-boggling. Racism is ugly because it denies the human bond that we all have. There's no way for us not to look at each other and know, oh, there's a difference. I'm not Korean. I'm not African American. But we're humans. And that bond is much more uniting than anything culturally, politically, familially. Every human being you meet is a full human being. The list reveals ultimately the name that is above all names. It's the one life that changes life for all who believe, Jesus. That's the name. Yes, the list is a mixture of good and bad players. There's always going to be such. But God is still saving sinners. You know, we're living in an age when people are getting canceled in all kinds of ways. Dropped off of Facebook, Twitter, and whatever, just because of their opinion. Don't we all feel it, don't we? It's almost impossible to share your opinion anywhere because you're afraid that somebody will be offended. But you know that God is still saving sinners? And that sinners still need to hear the gospel? Regardless what's going on in our culture? The list is a good place to start. Because it starts, if you will, the earthly story of redemption. All that promise, here it comes. Here comes the fulfillment. Because it reveals Jesus the Lord. What will your ancestry say about Jesus? There's probably times when it's not easy to be Josip Folta. Oh, Sam Folta's kid. Sam Folta has a history, reputation. But brothers and sisters, Joseph's starting his own tradition, moving in a direction his dad maybe didn't move. Our lives have become intersected. Why are they intersected? They're intersected because of Jesus, not because of whose son or whose daughter we are. The real question is this: do you know Jesus? Not what is your last name. Will you follow Jesus? There's nothing useless in the Bible. This list leads to Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel. It's ultimately the most important thing. For you to believe what the Word of God says about Jesus and what He came to do, what He accomplished, what was finished on the cross of Christ, promised in the resurrection of Christ. Do you believe this? Let's pray together. Almighty Father, we do come and recognize that there's sometimes just things in the Bible that open up our mind. If we think, if we meditate, if we consider the depth of those words, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that he was born at just the time he was, in just the place he was, and he did all that the Bible says he did. Father, we thank you for that marvelous gospel. Pray that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, that we might live in this world as heirs of the promise of grace and mercy and future glory. Oh Lord, give us faith to see in such a list the marvelous outworking of God's plan of redemption. We ask you to hear us.